From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton with a quick look at state and local headlines. With Governor Michael Dunleavy's budget set for release tomorrow, some in Juneau are concerned by what $1.6 billion in cuts to state government could mean for the capital city. That includes Juneau's new legislative delegation. State government jobs make up more than 20% of local employment. Senator Jesse Keel says Juneau's legislators decided to take a proactive approach this year.
This year, with I think the new administration and new members of the legislative delegation, we found ourselves with a lot of people concerned about job moves.
Along with Keel, Representatives Andy Story and Sarah Hannon sent letters to each state commissioner last month asking for detailed information about any Juneau-based jobs they plan to eliminate or move elsewhere. According to Story, the delegation has met with several commissioners so far, including Kelly Shibaka from the Department of Administration. She told the delegation that Juneau has lost about 12 exempt positions since Dunleavy took office due to the kind of restructuring that happens whenever a new administration takes over. But Story said they want to know what's in store for classified positions, which make up the majority of Juneau's workforce.
And so we really don't have a true picture yet because we have not gotten that.
According to a report, Southeast Alaska lost 850 state jobs between 2012 and 2018. Two-thirds of those were in Juneau. Keel says job loss is always a concern from an economic standpoint, but he argues that keeping essential state jobs in one place helps keep government efficient, too. That's why they want to make sure the Dunleavy administration has thought through every budget decision.
How he proposes to do that with the kind of budget cuts he has hinted at, I'm not sure. And we should save a buck every place we can save a buck, but harming Alaska's future is not a road I'm ready to go down.
The delegation says it will continue to work with commissioners and do all it can to prevent the loss of more jobs. Searchers have detected an underwater beacon from the air ambulance that vanished en route to the southeast community of Cake last month, according to Guardian Flight. They released a statement today. A Guardian Flight turboprop with three crew members aboard departed Anchorage on January 29th, but never arrived in Cake. A three-day search turned up a piece of wing near Cake, but no sign of the wreckage or the three crew members aboard. Guardian Flight's Vice President of Operations, Randy Lyman, said a ping from the Beechcraft's black box was detected on Tuesday. Efforts to triangulate the signal and recover the twin-engine aircraft and bodies of the three crew is expected to follow, he said in that statement. Aboard were three Juneau residents, 63-year-old pilot Patrick Coyle, 30-year-old flight nurse Stacy Ray Morse, and 43-year-old paramedic Margaret Langston. The Alaska House failed today to break the deadlock over who will lead the chamber. Some Republicans accused Representative Gary Canop of going back on his word after he voted against Representative Dave Tallarico to be speaker. Knopp said on the House floor that he committed to being the 21st vote for a Republican nominee, but he didn't say which one. And then he voted for himself to become speaker.
I never said who I would support. It was as of late last night, members approached me and asked me if they could move my name forward. I am supporting a Republican nominee myself, Mr. Speaker.
The votes for Tallarico and Canop both tied at 20 to 20. 21 votes are needed to become speaker. Canop acknowledged his nomination was not anticipated by the 20 members in the Republican caucus. Some Republicans expressed frustration at Canop's action on the House floor. Eagle River Republican Sharon Jackson was among them.
With the inconsistency of truce, let's just say it like that, I just ask you all to vote with knowing in your heart what is best for this body and for the state of Alaska.
The House hasn't begun its official legislative work in the first 29 days of the session. House rules require that a speaker must be elected first. A tailings dam collapsed last month in Brazil, killing more than 150 people. That accident raised fears among residents of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta about the safety of the tailings facility and the dam that Donlin Gold plans to construct for its large mine. But Donlin says its design is much safer than the one that collapsed in Brazil. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schallenberger brings us the story.
At least 10 people are dead in Brazil after a dam holding back a mining waste burst on Friday.
The dam collapse in Brazil is a nightmare for the communities nearby. Even after the dam is fixed, residents will have to deal with decades of contamination. Articles about that accident made the rounds on Facebook in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
I watched the film, I watched the flooding, I watched the numbers of deaths and destruction. And it just sent fear into me, because what if that happened? And it could so easily happen.
That's Bev Hoffman. She's opposed the Donlin Gold Mine for years, and in her eyes, this latest disaster is just another example of why the mine shouldn't be built. Donlin wants to build one of the world's biggest gold mines in one of the most remote parts of Alaska. The mine site is 10 miles from Crooked Creek, a village with a population of roughly 100. The mine site also sits on a tributary of the Kuskokwim River. The river is the biggest food source for the YK Delta, where most people rely on subsistence. And part of that mine would include a tailings dam that would hold the chemical-laced waste forever. Donlin Gold spokesman Kurt Parkin says the tailings dam the company has planned is safe.
We want it to be safe. We want to protect the environment. We want it to be absolutely the safest that we can do.
How mines store waste is always a controversial subject, because that waste never disintegrates. The chemicals carry serious health consequences if released into the water and ground. But there are a few major differences between the dam in Brazil and Donlin's proposal. One is the actual design. The Brazil dam used a design called an upstream tailings dam. That type is the cheapest and incorporates the tailings into the design. Donlin is using what's called a downstream method. It's more expensive and is considered the safer design among mining experts. The dam is built with rock instead of using tailings as part of the materials to build it. Parkin says Donlin's design goes another step further.
Considering the geography and the location and the type of the project, we have included the synthetic liner that's not required. We've also included what we call dry closure, which is the draining of the water so that the remaining is dry and covered by rock and soil, so it's stable. That's not required.
The Donlin mine will hold 412 million cubic meters of tailings, 32 times the amount of the Brazil mine. But the Donlin tailings will look like clay. A Montana-based nonprofit has publicly criticized Donlin's design. They think Donlin should use different methods that will dry out the tailings completely and then stack them within the dam. But those methods are even more expensive than Donlin's current design. Donlin already has to invest a lot of money into building the gold mine. These other methods of dealing with the tailings that were proposed through the comment period, would they make it cost prohibitive to build the mine?
I can't answer that because there's so many factors that go into operating a mine.
The Army Corps of Engineers already signed off on Donlin's design after its lengthy environmental review that finished last year. But Donlin still has to go through its dam safety certification with Alaska regulators, and that will take 2 years. The state is not required to include the public in the process. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schellenberger in Bethel. And now a correction. Yesterday we aired a story about the Governor's Arts and Humanities Awards. We said that Jack and John Hudson, the award-winning teachers from Metlakatla, had been working in that community for close to half a decade. We meant to say half a century. We regret that error. Turning now to weather, tonight we should expect more snow with accumulation just around 1 inch, lows around 24 degrees. Tomorrow, more snow is likely with accumulation of 1 to 2 inches, highs around 31, lows around 24. Gusts overnight up to 40 miles per hour near downtown Juneau and Douglas. It will stay windy through Thursday, and those winds will die down Thursday evening. Friday should be mostly cloudy, no new snow expected, and the sun will be back on Saturday, with highs in the mid to upper 20s. It's currently 28 degrees with light snow and some fog at Juneau International Airport. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. You're listening to All Things Considered here on KTOO.